evening once again, folks. Welcome to Voice of Reason Radio. This is your host, singular, Chris Honholtz, joining you today. It is December 3rd, 2018, and I emphasize the singular because I don't have my buddy Rich with me. This is so bizarre. I have not had to be at a mic by myself in a very, very long time, and my buddy Rich is not available tonight, and we are trying to be more consistent about recording our programs and putting them out there for you guys. And last week, it kind of fell apart. We typically do this on a Friday or a Saturday based on what circumstances allow for us. Friday was out for Rich and I. Saturday, I just messed up my back. I don't know what I did. I think it's getting older and rust and all that stuff. Anyway, I was in a lot of pain. And I asked my buddy Rich to hold off till tonight, and that was what we were going to do. We were going to record it tonight, and unfortunately, circumstances in Rich's life, as everybody's life, just one thing led to another, and he's just not able to be here. So lift him up to you. I do know the last time I talked to him, he was a Twitter-blocking fiend out there because he dared to have an opinion about how to cook steak. believe it or not. There are culinary heretics out there, and Rich apparently now numbers among them, depending on what type of how you cook your steak. I guess Rich kind of likes chewing on shoe leather, and well, we know that a little bit because of the things he's told us he's said to his wife from time to time. So we do know he does kind of likes chewing on shoe leather, but apparently he also likes to dine on it because he prefers his steak kind of on the more on the well done side. So that brought out every nut job in Twitter land to tell him what a terrible person he is. And he's been blocking people left and right because, wow, who knew that steak could be such a crazy issue? So that being the case, I am elected to do this on my own tonight. Been a while since I've done this by myself, as I said earlier, but I appreciate your prayers. I hope that you listening to me for an hour doesn't completely put you to sleep. I appreciate your guys as being with us. Now, again, if you're new to Voice of Reason Radio, I will explain as I usually try to do. This program is basically typically two Christians, one on each side of the United States, one from Mississippi, me from Nevada. And we talk about things from a Christian perspective. Be it day-to-day life, be it theological issues that we find in Scripture, be it events in the news, and we always say that we want to put these things through the biblical lens. That's how we should view everything. God's Word is the sole source of authority we have for life and godliness and everything. And so without the Scriptures, we're left to our own devices, and that's never a good thing because we actually see what's happening in our culture today. The more we have rejected the Word of God, the more insane things have become psychologically, morally, in the government, financially. It's just gone crazy. And it's because we have more and more rejected, pardon me, I'm bumping my desk here, more and more rejected the Word of God. So our point in doing this program, we have said, is we always have two aspects to it that we want. Number one is that we glorify God. If we don't glorify God in what we do, then we have no business doing this. It doesn't matter how useful anybody finds it. If it does not glorify God, we have no business at the microphone, and may He shut us down the day we stop doing that. The second is we hope to edify the saints. That means is that, you know, with this meager little gifts that God has given us, our gift of gab and a microphone and a computer, that we hope to cause our fellow Christians to stop and think, how are they looking at their lives? Are they looking at it through the lens of Scripture? Are they evaluating how they are ministering to others, helping one another, growing in their faith? Are they doing that from the Word of God? And if you're not doing it from the Word of God, then we hope we are encouraging you to start reevaluating how you're doing those things. So that's our hope. Glorify God and edify the brethren. And by the way, when we say edify the brethren, we are doing that at a very minor level, very tertiary at best. If you are a professing Christian, I'm going to encourage you, if you are not doing so, to shut this podcast off, go find a local church, get plugged in there, and be submitting to the elders above you, grow in the understanding of the Word from their teachings, minister with your fellow saints, worship together, pray together, be part of that fellowship. This program and others like it, in fact, others that are far better than this, can only ever hope to maybe increase your knowledge on a tertiary level. They cannot substitute for that local church that God has commanded us all to be a part of. So please, 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 whatever you do, get involved in a local church. That being said, like to encourage you to check out a couple things. We are on social media. We always try to let you know. We are on Twitter. You can find us at VOR underscore radio. That's at VOR underscore radio. You can also find us on Facebook. Just look for Voice of Reason Radio, specifically Voice of Reason Radio. There are some other Voice of Reason programs out there we discovered after we created this one. And some of them apparently are atheist programs. So if you're an atheist tuning in, you got the wrong show, but we love to have you. And maybe you will learn something that's very, very important. So please tune in and be part of that. So those two things, social media, you can find us on that. You can also find us on our website, which is slavetotheking.com, slavetotheking.com. That is where you will find links to our social media. You will find links to the RSS feeds through iTunes or whatever other app you use. The links for this program are there, as well as the show itself. It is imported from Podbean to the website, so you can listen to it while looking at the website. You can follow it to the links to download it to your favorite app. And you can also contact us there. You can contact us also by email at voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. So a little bit of just information right up front lets you know how you can find us and what the program is about. And again, as I go into this, I covet your prayers because, as I said, this is not something I get to do very often. I've been doing podcasting for several years, got recruited by Tony Miano when we did Cross Encounters Radio, and I was basically the chat room guy to keep everybody listening in line and occasionally throwing in my two cents, and eventually started doing this with Rich and always have a partner. So doing this solo is a little unnerving. It's very unusual to not have somebody chiming in. Rich is always keeping me on my toes, always keeping me in check, and keeping the conversation going the right way, because I tend to have those rabbit moments and chase the scroll down the wrong path. So he has always been a good check and a balance for me there. Just to let you know, we are hoping for the next few weeks as we go into Christmas to talk about what the Nativity is. Our plan actually had been for tonight's program, and we'll try to do it Friday or Saturday, to talk about why Jesus came as a man, why that is so very, very important to understand. I would like to have Rich there with me for that, because both of us have have our own insights on that. I shouldn't say have insight, as if we know something more than anyone else, but we would like to contribute to your understanding of that, and I'd like to have him here for that. So that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. One of the things we are going to talk about is something that happened in Christian music recently over the weekend, I think is when the article came out. And it's one of those subjects that it's not something that I wish we had to talk about. Kind of wish I could avoid it. But when I shared the link with my comments about it, somebody did encourage us to talk, do a program on it. So kind of threw this one together tonight. That's going to be the topic du jour. And that's going to be about Lauren Daigle, if you haven't kind of deciphered what I'm talking about. But that's going to be tonight's program, and what she has had to say, and why that's becoming more and more of a problem within the contemporary Christian music industry. So that being said, I'll ask you once again, pray for me, pray that this program is useful to you and to the body of Christ, and we'll go from there. So as I said, Lauren Daigle, she is a Christian songwriter and singer. You'll hear her on radio stations like K-Love, Safe for the Family, K-Love. And she has quite a number of songs that people have heard and know pretty well. Unfortunately, she's kind of been starting to draw some attention. And one of the things that caused her to draw attention recently was when she made her debut on The Ellen Show. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's referring to Ellen DeGeneres, who is a very outspoken lesbian actress and comedian. Ellen DeGeneres, many years ago, had a television sitcom, very popular, very likable lady, and decided on that program she was going to come out as a lesbian, and that pretty much torpedoed that particular television program. And as a result, it took a while for her to recover, but when she came back like gangbusters, and her program is one of the many, many daytime television programs that just has thousands and thousands, if not millions, of viewers. And she has become a very likable character. She's become a very, very sought-after celebrity. And being on her show is kind of like being on Oprah's. it gets you a lot of attention. And coming on a known Outspoken Lesbians program as a Christian recording artist ruffled a few feathers. Now, I would say just on that alone, I'm not going to, kick anybody in the shins for being on a secular program. In fact, it was just yesterday, that John MacArthur appeared on Ben Shapiro's program. Now, Ben Shapiro is a conservative pundit. He has his own podcast, radio show. He has his own website. And he goes to a lot of conservative meetings with young conservatives around the country. In fact, he has been the bane of many popular colleges, because when he shows up, the leftists go crazy and riots start to happen, and only because they don't want somebody with a different opinion showing up. Ben Shapiro is not a Christian. Ben Shapiro is a Jew. He is a Jewish man. And John MacArthur went on there, and from what I understand, I've yet to watch the program, but from those that I have seen make commentary, clearly proclaimed the gospel to Ben Shapiro. He used that opportunity to clearly explain God's word and his views on the Bible and preach the gospel. So if Lauren Daigle had gone on Ellen DeGeneres' show to promote the music she sang, and that was it, I don't think that would be a problem, because if her music, and that's the question, if her music is in fact honoring to God, then I don't have a problem with a Christian going into the secular world and making the gospel and the proclamation of Christ known. Doesn't bother me in the least. However, some people really got their feathers ruffled. Now, I would say that there are issues with Lauren Daigle's music. She's had some good ones, but she is part of the contemporary Christian music industry, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But because of that, there's a lot of compromise, in my opinion, and I think the opinion of many others within the contemporary Christian music industry, and making music that isn't necessarily God-honoring, in that it is designed to be kind of feel-good music, and you could really kind of apply it to just about any situation, secular or religious, and you might get something out of it. So I think there are some issues with regard to that when we're talking about Lauren Daigle, but her initial appearance, that was not what was problematic to me. However, what wrinkled a lot of feathers, and I think deservedly so, was when we go to ChristianPost.com on Saturday, December 1st, 2018, an article posted by Charity Gibson, Lauren Daigle on homosexuality, "I can't say one way or the other if it's a sin, I'm not God." Now, that is a very, very common thing to hear in this day and age, is it not? Well, you know, we can't judge people. The famous 11th commandment, go to Matthew 7, rip it out of context and say, "Thou shalt not judge." We've talked about that on the program before. Pardon me. Lauren Daigle was on a radio program, and this is she was point blank asked this. Why? Well, most likely because she was on the network television program of a known homosexual, Ellen DeGeneres. So the article reads as such: Grammy-nominated Christian singer Lauren Daigle was the featured artist on the Dominic Natty show. Dominic, if I messed up your name, I'm sorry. Dominic Natty show on iHeartRadio earlier this week, and said she couldn't answer whether homosexuality is a sin. Following Daigle's recent stint on the secular entertainment shows like the Ellen DeGeneres Show, Natty wanted to ask her about her stance as a Christian on homosexuality and whether it's a sin. Quote, "I can't honestly answer on that in the sense that I have too many people that I love and they are homosexuals," Daigle told this celebrity publicist. "I can't say one way or the other. I'm not God. When people ask questions like that, I just say, read the Bible and find out for yourself. And when you find out, let me know, because I'm learning too." Now, the writer actually does an excellent job. Miss Gibson actually does an excellent job pointing out that the Bible does actually speak very definitively about this. She points out the Old Testament book of Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as a woman. It is an abomination." The New Testament also says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9-10 also says under this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. So points for Ms. Gibson, making it very, very clear immediately after quoting Ms. Daigle on what exactly the Bible actually has to say. And I think there's another excellent resource for that, too, actually, I can refer you to if you're really unclear on this. Our good friends over at Well What, Pastor Gabe Hughes and friends, they put out a 90-second video that actually references the various scriptural passages that talk about what homosexuality is according to the Word of God. It is a sin. Okay, this is not a popular stance to take, but I will link this in the show notes that, you know, the Bible is very clear. It is not an unclear passage. Another one, and I will try to find it at the end of the program and attach it as well, is Dr. James White from Alpha and Omega Ministries. He has I believe it's a 4 or 5 hour recording, if I can still find the link to it, where he addresses Matthew Vines, who had a 1 hour speaking engagement where he tried to redefine what the Bible actually says about homosexuality. And he spends four hours in total addressing the 1 hour talk that Matthew Vines gave. And that is also a fantastic resource for understanding that the Bible is very clear. This is not a mystery what the scriptures say. And Daigle, I believe, knows this. It's very sad to see someone compromise and supposed to be someone who stands up there and sings praises to God, but then says, I don't really know what the Bible says. Ms. Daigle, I believe, fully knows that. And in the article, she is quoted as saying, it's so sad that people think because Ellen's gay, she's bad. Daigle told Natty about the criticism she received for singing on the show. After the performance, DeGeneres rushed on the stage, hugged Daigle, and joked that the former American Idol contestant was successful today because DeGeneres was a judge while Daigle was on the singing competition. The Christian singer said backstage that DeGeneres was so kind to her and told her she was a history maker. And anyway, this also talks about in the article about Miss Daigle's music has crossover appeal, and it's been turning up both on Christian and secular radio networks. And I think there's reason why, I think that's one of the reasons why we see Daigle's compromise here. The thing is that look at what Daigle is saying. She clearly indicates that she doesn't know what the Bible actually says. And she tells people, well, you go read the Bible. I'm not God. And if you know, come tell me. Well, Daigle, you know what it says. If you are a Christian and you've spent any length of time in Scripture, you know what the Bible says. It's very, very clear. And it's been expounded upon week after week after week after month after years forever since the issue of things like gay marriage became something that was a very public conversation. The Word of God has been clearly expounded upon. And for someone to say, I don't know what God says about it, I don't know whether it's a sin, that's a cop-out. I'm sorry. If you are someone who claims that you can't be sure whether it's a sin or not, you're either woefully ignorant or you're not being truthful. All right. Now, somebody may get mad at me and say, well, you're calling Lauren Daigle a liar. I am saying she cannot be possibly, be someone who stands in the public eye as she has and has sung so many songs that are supposed to be praises to God based upon the God of Scripture and then say she doesn't know whether it is or not. She either knows it is and is not being honest, or she is rejecting the Word of God, which honestly I think will probably be what we see next. This is often the path we will see as celebrity Christians begin to compromise in their walk. We begin to see, well, I'm not really sure if that's sinful. Well, maybe there's another way to look at it. And next thing you know, they're down the path, a few more weeks or months down the road, and they're just outright denying that this is the case. And so I believe that's probably what we will see with Ms. Daigle as time progresses, provided God does not intervene in this. But that is the issue. That's the crux of the problem, is that you have someone who has a lot of input and a lot of influence on day-to-day walk of Christians. Why? Because we're turning on radio stations like Air One and Caleb, which air music like Miss Daigle's. And then, as all of us do, we have somebody that, you know, we prefer their kind of music. We'll sometimes tune into what they have to say, look at articles or see television programs where that person is on, and we'll want to hear what they have to say on something. And Miss Daigle has stood up and has had an opportunity to say, I love Ellen DeGeneres, and Ellen knows where I feel, what I feel about her lifestyle. I love her to death, and she knows this, and I've shared the gospel with her, but what she is doing and what people like her are doing is rebellion against God. She has that opportunity, but she's not taking the opportunity to do that. Why? I believe, and this is what I put out the other day and what others have, somebody, at least one person suggested we talk about on the program, is that I believe there is a very specific reason why Miss Daigle is not making that commitment. And I think it has to do with the fact that she is a celebrity. Let's just make this clear. If you are a Christian in the public square today and you stand up and say something like homosexuality is a sin, be rest assured the torches and pitchforks are going to come out. We've talked about it on the program where there has been people that are angry with churches for doing church discipline because a person was in an unrepentant state of sin because they continued to pursue sexual immorality as a homosexual. And there are people that are getting upset with ministries and schools and other places that say, this is our code of conduct. You know, to work here, to attend school here, to be a part of this, you have to agree to submit to this code of conduct. And if you do not live according to this, we have the right to remove you. And then along comes to someone who's practicing sexual immorality. It might be a woman who gets pregnant out of wedlock. It might be a young man who involves himself in a homosexual lifestyle, something to that effect. They get terminated. They get released from the school. And then what happens? Oh, my goodness, it's all over the news. I can't believe how terrible this person. They just fired them just because of who they love or because of they have a different definition of what a relationship is. And it is happening again and again and again. And as I jokingly refer to about Ben Shapiro, if you are a person in the public square as a Christian who comes forward and wants to make a statement somewhere, chaos will erupt. Ben Shapiro is not even Christian, but he identifies as a conservative, which most Christians, most biblical Christians, I believe, have that kind of leaning, and they identify his beliefs with our beliefs, and chaos erupts. I remember years ago, I was a well-known former lesbian, Rosaria Butterfield, I believe, who had gone to a Christian college to speak about how God had intervened in her life, had brought her from a state of wanton rebellion against God into a right relationship with him, had saved her, regenerated her, made her a new creation. She's now married and has a family. Married to a man and has a family, and the student body protested a Christian college. This is where this happened. So Daigle cannot be ignorant of this. This is not like she didn't know this was coming. Okay, I assure you, the moment she agreed to appear on DeGeneres' program, this was a discussion that was being had with her manager, with her agent, and everybody else. This is what you can expect is going to happen. And this question is going to get asked of you. If no one told her that, they didn't do their job. If you think that someone could go into that blind, you're either very naive or we have to believe that the people that sent her there were completely blind. And I just don't believe that's the case, especially when you have someone like Lauren Daigle, who's become an up-and-coming star within the contemporary Christian industry, or music industry. And mind you, as the article referenced the fact, she's a former American Idol contestant. So this she's not unaware. To suggest that she didn't know, wasn't prepared or anything like that, I'm not saying anybody has said that, but in case you're thinking that, you have to be incredibly naive to think she didn't know this was going to come up. And I heard the audio clip where she was interviewed. She's not stumbling over her words. She's not stumbling or stuttering or anything like that. She answers pretty concisely, pretty clearly where she stands on that. But I think the thing that I find very interesting, as is quoted in the article, what is the first thing that she brings to mind when she's questioned about whether it's a sin? Well, I can't answer that. Why? Because I have too many people that I love and they are homosexuals. And she did say that. As I said, I listened to the audio clip. She says that. That's the first thing she puts up there. It's that issue of the relationship. These are nice people. I don't want to say something bad about them. I love these people, so I can't say if they're in sin. And the problem is that what is the emphasis on? It's on her relationship with these people, not her relationship with Christ. She's already waffled. She's already stepped aside. She's put the Bible down. She's put it that tool that we all rely upon, because it tells us who God is, why we need Christ, why we need salvation, why we need repentance and faith, all of that. And she's put that down, and the first source of authority she goes to is her relationship with her homosexual friend. Again, Daigle isn't ignorant. She knows what she's saying. You know, there is a reason, because if she steps out and says, I believe homosexuality is a sin, before that phone line was disconnected, her career would have been done. There is nobody that would have touched her, especially in light of the fact she had just been on Ellen DeGeneres' program. You can be rest assured Ellen DeGeneres would have come out in tears saying, I cannot believe this. I just had this woman on my show. I always thought she was such a lovely person. I encouraged people to vote for her when she was on American Idol. Why would she say something like this? I have always had the utmost respect, and she has just gutted me. She has hurt my friends. I cannot imagine why. And she would have been so compelling in doing it. So Daigle knew full well that if she had said that, it could well have cost her career. And that's the problem. We have an industry that is not seeking to promote God. It's seeking to promote self. It's seeking to promote the singer. It's seeking to promote their celebrity. That's what's happening within the contemporary Christian music. Now, I believe there are a great many people who go into the music industry as Christians who want to sing songs for God's glory. And I think they do a fantastic job. Some of them, not so much. Some do, some are hit and miss. But I believe there are many people that have every intention of going in there and using the gift that God has given them with their voice to sing wonderful praises. And over time, that begins to change. And I think we see that happening with Daigle. She knows full well that if she were to stand upon the word of God, it would cost her career. And so she waffled. What happens after this? Don't know. I've seen some people say, oh, she can't possibly be a Christian. I don't know if she is or not. I'm going to come out and say right now, we need to be a little bit cautious about condemning Lauren Daigle and saying she's not a Christian. We don't know. The simple fact is right now, she has the clear word of God, and she is rejecting it so that she can remain in that public spotlight. I don't believe at all she is ignorant. I don't believe at all that she doesn't know. I think she knows, and I think she has chosen not to do it. And I believe it has been on the advice of managers and agents and other people within that industry who do not want Daigle to go down in flames. So they are encouraging her to divorce herself from this position and to keep it nebulous so that she can continue to appear and be loved on by the secular world so she can get more attention, more record deals, etc. If you don't know what a record is, then CD, MP3, etc. So, all right, so Why can I say that? Well, let's go back a few years. Matt Papa was in the Christian radio industry, and he had written an article referring to Becky, the golden calf of Christian radio. Now, I tried to find the original article, but apparently it doesn't seem to be on his site anymore. However, the article itself is referenced in A Twisted Crown of Thorns article from 2012. So I will link that. And the reference to the article does appear to have the full body of this. And I remember this article because I remember Todd Friel talking about it on Wretched Radio. So I'm going to quote from Matt Papa here. He says, meet Becky. She's a 38-year-old soccer mom with three kids. She drives a minivan because if she didn't, well, she wouldn't where would she put all the crayons and goldfish? She is a loving wife and mother and is actively involved at her church. She lives in the suburbs but volunteers at the local food pantry. Becky is pretty awesome. And one more important detail about Becky, she listens to Christian radio exclusively. Yep, that's right. And you are actually already know her. Becky isn't one person, of course. She's a prototype target audience created by the Christian music industry for Christian radio. Now, if you've never heard of the term demographic before, that is what people in marketing have. They have demographics. They try to, you know, for younger people, they're going to target, you know, for video games, they're going to target younger people. For certain types of medicines, they target older people. You have a demographic. Becky is a demographic. This is what Christian radio is marketing to. So back to the article. She is a prototype target audience for created by the Christian music industry for Christian radio. True story. She's been around about 6 or 7 years now. Christian radio demographic research discovered that Becky is the one who is listening. So Becky is the audience they relentlessly target. So here's what happens. Christian radio plays songs for Becky. The labels know that in order to sell music, they have to get songs on the radio. Radio equals Becky. So the labels coerce their artists and bands to write and record songs for Becky, songs that will make her feel good, songs that tell her she is good, songs that are safe for the whole family, songs that remind her of her snowflakeness, and that was his word, not mine, snowflakeness, and tell her to turn that frown upside down, songs that focus on love and hope, songs that are not confrontational. Songs that aren't theological because, man, that stuff is up in the clouds. Songs that don't talk about blood and crosses and depressing stuff like that. Songs that focus on Becky and her busy life. And if the artists or bands want to record songs for another demographic or another purpose, that's fine. They can just make music somewhere else. There's money to be made. So here we are. Bands and artists who want to be heard write songs for Becky. Christian radio, therefore, is for the most part an altar where chipper, inauthentic, boring, unscriptural, untruthful, gospel-absent, ear-tickling, man-centered songs are offered to an idol named Becky. I've been on a couple labels in my short musical career, and I can testify that this is, sadly, how things work. I love Becky. I really do. That's the part of the reason I'm writing this. Becky needs to be ministered to just like I do, and just like everyone else does. But Christian radio industry people, please minister to her. Stop giving her what she wants. Give her what she needs. And that is the gospel, or stop calling yourselves Christian. There's nothing Christian about telling someone who has cancer that they are okay. So stop tickling her ears. Becky is a human being who needs to hear the truth of Christ, not an object to use for your financial gain. Woe to you. Here's a novel idea. Why not target other people besides Becky? The gospel has no demographic. Christ shed his blood for all people everywhere, and you have misrepresented him. I pray with all my heart that the money tables in your temple would soon be overturned. And again, this was referenced on an article from A Twisted Crown of Thorns. It was posted back in February 19th, 2012, and I will put that link in the show notes so you can see the article for yourself. I wish I could find the original Matt Papa, but when I do a Google search, the link doesn't seem to work. Which, unfortunately, that's the internet sometimes. Things just go missing. But that's the issue here, is that Lauren Daigle is part of an industry, and all you have to do is turn on K-Love. You know, positive and encouraging. I like the joke, they positively encourage me to change the channel. It's a industry standard to mention Jesus as little as possible. I remember when Todd Friel talked about this, they had what they refer to as JPMs, Jesus's per minute. How often you're allowed to mention Jesus in these things. And if that's why so much, you know, for those of us who have listened to it and scratched our heads and felt like, man, this sounds like a love song to your girlfriend, why you don't hear Jesus or God or Lord or Savior, it's because they want it kept generic. Now, Matt Papa made an excellent point. That there's heavy stuff when we talk about Christian theology. You know, we've mentioned this on the show many, many times. There is heavy, heavy stuff when we are talking about the Word of God. And it's meant to convict us. It's meant to humble us. It's meant to drop us to our knees in recognition that we are in desperate need of a Savior. But the Christian contemporary Christian music industry, as a general rule, doesn't really want that because, man, if you're listening to that, that can bring you down. You've already had a rough day. Why would you want that to be on your radio station? Why should people listen to A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, or why should they be listening to, Amazing Grace? I mean, that's powerful stuff. Yeah, but you can only listen to it so much. You need something that's upbeat. And the sad part about it is I was listening to, we had the Amazon Alexa app running in our house early. We had Christmas music going just for the fun of it. And there was a more modern tune. I didn't recognize it, but my younger son is kind of almost seemed like he was singing along to it. And so we asked him, do you know this song? Because we don't listen to a lot of radio. And he said, well, sort of. You know, it seems like a lot of, upbeat music he can catch up with really quick. And so my comment was, well, yeah, it's because most of it sounds alike. And it was meant a joke, but there's truth to that. Is you can often, listen to most different genres of music anymore and realize there's not a lot of difference between them. I used to listen to a lot of country music, and please don't write me busting my chops. There was there's a handful of music that I like. Country's one of them. Okay. And back in the 90s, it was pretty decent. Stuff now I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. It sounds almost like the top 40 music. If you turn on your local top 40 station, it's country hip hop. There's nothing distinctly unique about it. Most music like that, most music any day is these days like that. And Christian music has adopted so much of it. You could switch stations. In fact, I think we did one time. We switched stations, and I had put it, I think, on a secular station just because the local Christian station was driving me nuts. My wife didn't realize I'd switched stations on the radio and thought what we were listening to was the continuation of what we had been on the same previous channel. That's how similar it has become. They have tapped into something where it's like, well, we want to appeal to a demographic that wants this upbeat kind of canned, auto-tuned music that doesn't have a lot of substance to it. And if you listen to most music today versus, say, 30, 40, 50 years ago, go back to the 70s. Now, the 70s had a lot of drug-induced music. Okay, it's no question about it. It was very hippie, but listen to the content. They had a message they were proclaiming. Listen to stuff by Justin Bieber. Listen to stuff by the newest and greatest stuff. Lady Gaga or whatever. Most music today just doesn't have a lot of substance, but it has a lot of repetition. It has a lot of beat. It has a lot of party feel to it. And that's about it. There's not much substance in most music today. Turn on the top, top 40s, but turn on your local Christian station, and you will find music that's very similar. And that's not to say that every song on there is horrid, and that doesn't mean that you should turn off that particular station. But you are listening to something that's being produced by an industry that wants to make money. If you've spent money, go back to American Idol that Miss Daigle was a part of. I can't stand that program. And the reason is it is heavily manipulated. And anybody that's watched that and thinks it's what they're watching is actual, genuine effort to find talent is not paying attention. It is an extremely manipulative program. And they've said that, they've been interviewed by people and they'll say, yeah, we send people through, but we don't tell them if they are necessarily the good or the bad ones because they want bad ones to look bad. They've had people that have gone on there and been judges and say, well, yeah, we're trying to push the audience in a certain direction because we think this is what's going to sell. So your judges are manipulating the audience. The people bringing the people on for the show are not telling the contestants the truth about whether they're great or terrible. It's all manipulation. Why? Because they have an industry standard that they want to produce, and that's what's going to make them money. And as Matt Papa pointed out in that article, you're seeing the same thing with the contemporary Christian music industry. Now, I know this is going to rankle some feathers because some people will listen to, Christian music today and they don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's Christian enough and it's got some content that's God honoring, and well, I'd rather listen to that than rap that it tells people to rape and murder people, or heavy metal which glorifies Satan and all this stuff. And there's some truth in that. I'm not saying that you need to go turn off K-Love and stop listening to it. Personally, I think you might be better off and just go download some good music from iTunes or Amazon and put it on your iPod and listen to that. But if you're going to listen to it, you need to go in understanding that this is an industry that is not concerned primarily about your theological growth. It's worried about getting more music being sold, more songs that are being acceptable to the person in the minivan, Becky, and it's going to produce more people like Lauren Daigle, who simply do not want to take a stand for the Word of God. Jesus Christ told his disciples that we need to count the cost to follow him. He made it clear. He says, no man goes to war without, taking an account of, and I'm paraphrasing, taking an account of his enemy's forces and his own, and to whether he can win the war. And if he can't, he goes and tries to make peace. Why? Because he's going to be slaughtered if he isn't prepared. Nobody who makes a purchase of a vineyard or anything else is going to do so without making sure he's got enough money to make it work. So we are to count the cost. Christ also told his disciples that we should not be surprised that we will be hated by the world, because the world first hated him. That a disciple is no greater than his master. And if the world hates the master, then the disciples will be hated likewise. There's nothing about the Christian faith that is simply just an easy cakewalk. Our Savior, our Lord, the one to whom we proclaim our allegiance, was beaten, crucified, and buried. Why? Because he dared to stand up and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He declared himself to be the only means of salvation. He declared that only through him could we have entrance into the throne room of God. The world doesn't like that. The world can't stand that. The world hates that. That's why we see this push for inclusivity. Do you really think that the issue of diversity and inclusivity and tolerance is about these poor individuals who haven't been given the opportunity? No, it's about exclusivity, the exclusion of Jesus Christ. They want everything but Christ. That's what the tolerance movement is about. That is what the postmodern philosophical movement is about. That is what the LGBT movement is about. That is what it is all about. It is everything about turning this world away from the Word of God and turning it on itself to worship at the idol of self. That's what it's all about. Lauren Daigle needs to make a decision. She needs to make it now. And I doubt Ms. Daigle will ever hear this. I would be shocked if she ever heard this. But if I were to speak to her, and I would want to do so compassionately, is that, Lauren, you stand up on a stage and you profess that the music you sing is to glorify your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what you profess this music is for. And yet, when you are confronted with a hard question, and it is a hard question, because guess what? Much to our dismay, those of us on the conservative side of things, there are people who are genuinely kind and lovely and great who are homosexual. They make great neighbors. They will mow your yard for you. They will be there to pick you up when there's been a car accident. They will do all kinds of wonderful, kind, and amazing things. Because guess what? Kindness and love is an attribute that God has extended to his creation. It's not an incommunicable attribute. It is a communicable attribute. And he pours his rain out on the just and the unjust. So guess what? There are kind and loving people who are LGBT. But their kindness and loveliness does not negate that what they're doing and the way they're living is in opposition to God any more than before I was a Christian, the lifestyle I led was in any way, shape, or form appealing to God. In fact, it was rebellious against God. I had the gall to say to my friends, I don't think anybody's got it right, so God's just going to have to take me as I am. Talk about arrogant. Talk about prideful. And when, you know, in the quietness of my heart, I'll tell you right now, that terrified me to say it because I knew I was wrong and I didn't want to admit it. And just like I faced that, just like you had sins that you had to deal with, all those sins before God are rebellion. They are us turning our back on God. They are us trying to tear him down from his throne and put ourselves up. And so no matter how lovely, no matter how kind and generous a person may be, they're not going to make it into heaven on those merits because their sin keeps them from God. It puts them at war with God, and he is going to judge them on judgment day. And Ms. Daigle, if I can't imagine you would hear this, but if you would stop and realize for a moment, if you follow Jesus Christ, Lauren, you stood before God condemned one day, that all your sins, how you thought, how you spoke, the anger that you had towards people, the lust, the covetousness, all the things that you had to combat, and try to live with day to day, as we all did, and then justified in some manner because we thought, well, no, I'm not as bad as the other guy. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a drug dealer. And we somehow justified it. One day we were confronted with the fact that we are broken and busted and foul and loathsome before God because we are sinners, because we've rejected his rule over us. We've rejected his law. We've chosen to follow our own passions. And yet Christ, in his kindness, in his compassion, in his loveliness, put himself on the cross, took the punishment we deserved, that righteous wrath of God poured out upon him. And he took that punishment, was buried in the grave, died, buried in the grave, and then rose to defeating death and sin and death on the third day. So that we, when we repent and put our faith in his completed work, we have eternal life. Why? Because he took our debt and he gave us his righteousness. Now, Lauren, how can you sit there knowing this, Ms. Daigle? How can you knowingly believe that and then look to people who you know? You can't say you don't know, Ms. Daigle. You know what the Word of God says. It is clear. It is clear as the notes written on the music that you sing that the Word of God is true. And God condemns sexual immorality. It is not your relationship with them that matters. It is their relationship with God. And right now they are in rebellion to God. And you know this. You know this to be true because the Word of God is true. And the greatest thing you can do is trust the Lord Jesus Christ to do things his way. I know there are people that think, hey, you know, Ms. Daigle did the right thing. You know, she's not judging people. Wrong. Lauren Daigle completely abandoned what she is compelled to do by the Word of God, and that is preach the truth in love to those who are perishing. See, there's a lot of folks that want to look at what Lauren Daigle did and lift it up and go, great, she obeyed the 11th commandment, thou shalt not judge, except when we look at Matthew chapter 7, that is not what that says. It does say that when we judge others, that this, with the same standard we judge others, we ourselves will be judged. So we need to think about that. And so we need to remove the plank of our own eye, that giant wooden beam shoved in our skull, that, you know, the sin that I have before God, remove it from my eye in repentance and faith, trusting in the completed work of Christ, being obedient to him, and then go to my brethren and say, brother, you got a speck in your eye. You know, let me tell you about the log that I had, what God had to do to redeem me. Now, let me talk to you about the speck in yours. That's what the judge not lest ye be judged is about. It's about not judging with hypocrisy, as if we are so much better than someone else. I'm no better than Lauren Daigle. In fact, if we sat down and compared sins, I would probably be worse. So everything I'm saying here is not about condemning Ms. Daigle. And again, I hope that she genuinely is saved. I hope this is a period where she has compromised because where she's at, and God will bring her back to where she needs to be. Because guess what? The rest of us do the same thing. We wander off the path plenty of times, and the good shepherd comes and, you know, kicks us in the backside with his shepherd's hook and brings us back where we belong. And so we pray that that's what's going on here with Ms. Daigle. But for her to stand there and say, I don't know, that is just absolutely untrue. Because if you're a Christian and you know the Word of God, that's absolutely untrue. And I'm sorry, folks, if you are applauding her by saying, good for her, she's not judging, you are walking in hypocrisy. Because you will tell someone like me, how dare you judging me? And you will applaud Lauren Daigle, who won't step out of her comfort zone to tell someone about the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel and the desperate need that these people have for repentance and faith. I would rather see Lauren Daigle lose her career and stand upon the word of God, never compromise, and watch one person, only one person, genuinely come to faith because they saw something that this woman cared so much about the Savior who shed his blood for her that she gave up everything to stand on the word of God. And if you don't think that's enough, then you simply don't understand salvation. You don't understand the counting of the cost, that when Jesus said a woman swept the entire house looking for that lost coin, and when they found it, the whole town rejoiced. One coin. When the shepherd left the 99 to find the lost one, the people rejoiced over one lost sheep. Would that not be enough? Would that not be enough that we would be willing to give it all to see one person saved? And yet the world will applaud Lauren Daigle for her compromise and saying, I don't know if it's a sin. Hey, if you find it, tell me. Guess what, Miss Daigle? Lots of people are telling you. Are you going to listen? I suspect no. I suspect she will compromise further. I suspect, as we have seen so many times with celebrity Christians, that once they start on this path, it is destructive. They will head down it further to where they just flat out reject the word of God. And I fear for her because I don't want to see that happen in her life. I don't want to see the effect it will have on professing Christians who follow in her wake. I would rather see Lauren Daigle lose it all and see one person come to salvation than to see thousands or even millions of people follow her and all are following a false teacher who rejects the word of God. That's what I don't want to see. So that's why, you know, when this was suggested, you know, based on the post, that maybe this would be a good show topic, I thought, well, if I'm going to go solo tonight, let's talk about that. Don't compromise your walk with Christ to defend what is genuinely and truly bad behavior on the part of Lauren Daigle. Please don't. What do you do with Lauren Daigle after this? Right now, I wouldn't be supportive of her. If you were someone who has any input or access to her life, I'd talk to her about what the Bible genuinely says and what it means to lead people astray. I'm sure there are a lot of young people that listen to Lauren Daigle. You know, maybe remind her what Jesus said about it'd be better that a millstone be hung about a person's neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea than they see the result of what happens when they lead one of those young ones astray and lead them into sin. Lauren Daigle has an opportunity right now to speak truth into the lives of many, many, many people. And she just affirmed a lot of people in their sin. And maybe they'll feel just a bit more comfortable. So would I support her right now? No. Would I buy her music? No. Would I go and condemn her resoundingly and call her every foul and loathsome word I could think of? Absolutely not. I think with Lauren Daigle, like with anybody else, we pray desperately for her. We speak the truth to her lovingly as we would anyone else. And we don't go all discernment, Nazi, gung-ho attack dog. And say, see, we told you this was coming and she's a false teacher. And da, da, da. Stop. Please don't do that. She definitely needs your prayers. This is an industry that cares about one thing. It's money. It's about the promotion of the person, not of Christ, despite what they would tell you. This industry cares about making money, and it's all the same thing over and over and over again. And if you want evidence of that, what music is on the top of the charts for Christian music. It's not Sovereign Grace, and I'll tell you, those guys are fantastic. They sing some fantastic contemporary hymns. It's not Page 116, the folks that take old hymns and sing them new. And we interviewed them when we were on Cross Encounters Radio with Tony. I mean, man, they beautiful music that they did with those old hymns. It's not, you know, wonderful songwriters and singers like Carrie Atala, who is a good friend of ours, who's made some fantastic music. She's not chart topping. Why? Because they're singing God honoring music. Now, there are some good, solid people out there, and they are making headway. But the ones topping the charts are not those folks. The ones topping the charts are the Lauren Daigles of the world. The ones who, if they would just get with the program and do things the industry's way, well, man, they're going to have a lot of impact. And guess what? As the article that I was reading from says, she has appeal to both markets, secular and religious. Man, can you ask for anything more if you're a celebrity? So I wouldn't support her music. If you're someone who intends to have her at your church or a concert that you're sponsoring or something, I wouldn't invite her. I would take this time when your kids say, why do we change this channel when she comes on? Let's talk about what she said and why that's a compromise and why we do not want to support her right now in that industry, because we want her to understand that she needs to repent. She needs to put her faith back in Christ and trust his plan, not her own, not the industry standard, not the managers and the other folks that are running her business for her. We care about her honoring God more than we care about her as a celebrity. We care about her as a professed sister in Christ. We don't want her to be remaining in a sinful state by rejecting the word of God. That's what I would do. I think that's what we need to do. So anyway, that's what I had hoped to accomplish tonight, was just get you guys thinking about these scenarios, because I know there are Christians. I've seen some of the postings that say, yeah, we should, you know, she's doing okay. What she's saying is good. You shouldn't be so harsh. And people are being mean and they're being, you know, they're violating Matthew 7. And I want you folks, if you're doing that, to stop and think for a minute. What are we saying when we support Lauren Daigle's statement that she doesn't know if homosexuality is a sin? We're promoting that it's okay to reject the word of God, even though you know it to be true. We're okay to say that I'm going to be ignorant of it. No one is suggesting, I don't think, that Lauren Daigle should go around with a heavy Bible and smack homosexuals in the back of the head and go, get right with the program or go to hell. Nobody's saying that. What we're saying is Lauren Daigle is wrong for rejecting what the clear word of God says, and she should have stood up for it. And she has an opportunity now to decide where she's going to go next. And if she continues down this path, those of you that are supporting what she said are going to have to eat some crow when you watch her reject the word of God completely. Where are you going to go then? This is a lesson for all of us, that we would stand fast on the word of God, that when confronted with the truth, we do not compromise. We preach the truth in love. We do not need to be jerks for Jesus. So that many, many times, we preach the truth in love. We preach it with compassion and tears in our eyes, because we don't want to see people go to hell. But we don't compromise the word of God so we can have continued presence with the culture. Absolutely should not happen. And that's what's happening here. And it's tragic, because it's going to lead a lot of people astray. So anyway, I hope that this hour hasn't been too entirely boring for you without Rich to tease me and make jokes at my expense. I hope listening to me drone on for an hour has not put you to sleep. I hope you weren't driving while listening to this, perhaps wrecking your car to change it. I hope it's been informative. I hope it has glorified God more than anything, and I hope it's built you up. We are to count the cost. We are followers of a master who was crucified by this world. We are not going to be suddenly able to do things differently and get accepted when Jesus was rejected. Stand firm in the word of God, preach the truth in love, and pray. And pray for people like Lauren Daigle, because I think she's going the wrong path real fast. So, thank you for your time. I look forward to being with you again later this week when Rich is able to rejoin me. And we hopefully will be talking about the nativity over the next few weeks, talking about Jesus coming to earth in the form of man and why that's important. So thank you for being with me. I'll talk to you next time. God bless. Good night.